In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Amen. Jeremiah, when he was writing this, he was no longer a child. But there could be many reasons why a person would feel like he is a child. It could be that he has fears of his own weaknesses. He may have feelings of uncertainties. He may come to a true realization of his own sinfulness. He may recognize his own foolishness. These could be reasons that would lead a person to say and to cry out, "Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child." But the Lord's response to Jeremiah was to take Jeremiah's focus away from himself, and the Lord wanted Jeremiah to see the Lord and to see only him. This was why throughout this passage, you would see how the Lord emphasized upon what he will do, what God will do, and not what Jeremiah would do. In verse 5, the Lord declares, "I formed thee." And then he went on to say, "I knew thee. I sanctified thee. I ordained thee." In response to Jeremiah's cry in verse 7, the Lord went on to assure Jeremiah, "I shall send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." In verse 8, God said, "I am with thee." Verse 9, God continues to say, "I have put my words in thy mouth." In verse 10, "I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms." The emphasis is on what God will do and not who Jeremiah is. When I think upon what Jeremiah has cried out unto the Lord, I identify with Jeremiah. In many ways, when the Lord first called me, I feel like I'm a child. It could be because I am really a child. I was born into a Christian family. My parents and my sister, they are all born again Christian by God's grace. And while I was growing up in church, I attended Sunday school. But I do not remember accepting the Lord Jesus Christ until around when I was primary 4. Perhaps before that, I know about God. I know about the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the stories of the Bible. But it was only in 1994 when I remember vaguely my parents sat me down one evening and they talked to me. And they told me of the importance of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and how I must accept Him as my personal Lord and Savior. I remember then I accepted Christ as my Savior, and my parents asked me how I felt. I could only remember that I said, "I am very happy." And I only remember the date. Actually, I don't remember 1994. I only remember the date because I wrote it down in a Bible. Okay, and I also wrote there, "I am happy." So this is what I remember with regard to how the Lord called me to salvation. But growing up as a second-generation Christian in a Christian home, I took the privilege that I enjoyed for granted. I did not appreciate spiritual things at all. Oftentimes, I would find Sunday school boring. I do not enjoy the classes. I do not think consciously of God. I do not have Christ in my mind always. I just live life as it is. I remember growing up, every day what I'm concerned about would be what will be on the television. And then coming home from school, I will always go down and play at the void decks, riding bicycle with my neighbors, playing catching all over the HDB flat. Yes, in those days we still play at the void decks. right? Swinging on the monkey bars. Those things were what I enjoy, and those were the things that I occupied my time with. But as I continued to grow up, I became rebellious. I was hot-tempered, and I was stubborn. This was not just a growing up phase where a person was just innocently naughty. It was not an innocent naughtiness that I had, but it was actually a sinful rebellion that I had. I was stubborn. I often argued with my parents. I quarreled with my sister. I brought them much tears. I remember how when I was growing up, so often, when my parents would come home from work, they would push me to do my schoolwork, and I refused to do my work, and it would result in huge arguments at home. This was how I was. Was I saved? I knew I was saved because there were seasons of time where the Lord brought me under a sense of conviction. Where I was convicted in my heart, I was reminded of my guilt and my shame and my sinfulness, and I would repent and look to the Lord. But I was still stubborn, and I often live in this backslidden state of stubbornness and of rebellion. What I remember with regard to my childhood, my growing up days, was that I was a vile sinner. As I went on to secondary school, this did not change. I attended fellowship groups, the youth fellowship, but people could not see the ugly side of my life. Christian friends, they would think that I'm rather mild-mannered. I'm quite a gentle or nice person. But my family and my friends in school, they knew who I truly was. In school, I was lazy. I was ill-disciplined. I did not enjoy studying at all. Many times, my words and my thoughts were filled with filthy things. My language was filled with vulgarities. This was who I was. And going on in secondary school, I remember how so often I would tell lies. Sometimes I will go to school earlier to mix with friends so that we can go and play LAN games. And then I would deceive and lie to my nanny that perhaps I have some extra school assignments to do. But I would spend my time wasting away playing all these computer games and doing useless things. But by God's grace, God preserved me and God protected me. While there are some whom God will use and whom God will call, where they are capable men, they are godly men. We remember people like John Calvin, Martin Luther, or even Jonathan Edwards. God would prepare these people even from a young age where they would live godly lives. They are learned men. But for every one who is like the Apostle Paul, God also sometimes prepares one who is like Apostle Peter. God can use both the scholar and God can use a fisherman. I was not one who was learned or godly. But by God's grace, God was very merciful. He did not allow me to continue in my backslidden state. The Lord worked in my life. You know, as we are all growing up, we have various dreams and ambitions, things which we want to do and jobs which we want to have in the future. Some may want to be like a policeman in the future. Some will want to be a fireman in the future. I had no such ambitions. When I was preparing my testimony, I tried to think back. What did I want to be when I was a child? I could only remember when I was young, I put on my father's army uniform. Then I think, maybe was that what I wanted to be, a soldier? But entering secondary school when I joined the National Cadet Corps, all such thought disappeared. Then what else did I want to be? I could not remember having any ambitions. Being a preacher was never in my mind. To be a missionary was never something I ever thought about. Perhaps the closest thing that could come to me having an ambition was to be a football player. I enjoy football a lot. And in secondary school, If it was not computer games, I would spend my time playing soccer. But those of you who have played soccer with me will know that I'm not very good. So I would not have a future being a football player. But that was perhaps the only thing that I had an ambition for and towards. But the Lord was merciful. In secondary school, they had this special program where students were required to come to school about 20 minutes earlier. And they have this reading session. I do not know whether this is still practiced in secondary schools today. But we had this reading session where we were supposed to come and bring a book and just spend the first 20 minutes before assembly reading a book of your choice. And I do not know who introduced. I do not remember. If you are here, I'm sorry, but I do not remember who introduced this book to me. But it was a biography. And it was actually a series of biographies that recorded the lives of missionaries. I remember three of these biographies which I read, including the lives of William Carey, the missionary to India, David Livingston, the missionary to Africa, and Mary Slessor, a missionary to Nigeria. So this was the first time where I first encountered and came across the lives of missionaries. I started to read about them. I grew interested in their life and the work that they were doing. I asked questions. Why did these people sacrifice their life? Why did these people give up everything to go to these strange foreign places to preach the gospel? What gripped them and what moved them? Because I did not have such a burden. Do I even love God and His gospel? Was I saved? Yes, I was saved. But why is it that I do not have the same kind of passion that they had? So this was when these thoughts first came into my mind. And the year was in the year 2000, where by God's grace, and by His providence again, there was a missions trip to North Thailand, organized by Calvary Tengah Bible Presbyterian Church. And I was in the youth fellowship in those days. Although I attended youth fellowship, I was not a very interested Christian, but this missions trip opportunity came about. And as I was reading about all these biographies, I was just curious. You know, when I first went for this mission trip, it was not because I had a burden for souls. It was not because I was interested in the gospel. I just was curious to find out what a mission trip was all about. And so, in the year 2000, when I was secondary 3, I went for this mission trip at the end of the year. And by God's grace, He used this mission trip to rebuke me, to awaken me. For the first time, I saw how people were so interested in the gospel. I saw a true hunger and a thirst for God's word. These little children who would gather every evening for this special children program which we would arrange, they came with such excitement, and you can see in their eyes how they just enjoyed listening to God's word. Week after week, we would sit in our Sunday school classes. We would play. We would joke with one another. We would not do our DHW assignments. Our teacher would force us to sing. I remember when we were in young teens, we just don't like to sing somehow. We were just all very quiet. And our teachers have to try to excite us to sing. Why? We just were not so concerned about these spiritual things. But I saw in these people the hunger and the thirst for God's word. And it made me question myself, what is life all about? What am I doing with my life? All I ever did in my life up to that point in time, was to bring shame to my parents, to bring tears to them. I wonder how many times they just wept quietly in their rooms for me. But I saw the hunger and the thirst for God's word. And I also managed to speak to some of these missionaries and to hear for the first time for myself what gave these missionaries a passion These missionaries at that time, although they were missionaries to North Thailand, they were actually from China. It's very interesting because the northern part of Thailand, they actually spoke Chinese. So these missionaries from China would actually come to North Thailand to do missions work there. So I actually spoke to them and to find out what gave them this passion and desire to serve the Lord. The Lord worked in my heart. And that was when the Lord first placed a burden for souls in my heart. The Lord rebuked me. I was gripped in my soul. And I repented and I turned to the Lord. I remember coming back from this missions trip with a burning desire to do what these missionaries have been doing. So I went to talk to my parents. And of course, you know, as a child who has been misbehaving, rebellious, my parents would find it hard to understand how could someone like me have such a desire to be a preacher. They were cautious. I believe maybe they were happy, but at the same time, they were also cautious. Could this be just an impulse that this young boy had because he went for a missions trip? Was this a real call from the Lord? But by God's grace, they were happy because they saw that I had this desire for God's work, a desire which I never had. Well, talking to my parents, they were careful, and so in their wisdom, they told me that if you want to be a missionary, first of all, you have to complete your studies because you are just secondary three. So I have to complete my studies first. And then if you still have this burden and this call, then perhaps later on, you can enroll in the Far Eastern Bible College. I do not know whether in their mind they wanted me to complete my studies because they also will be thinking that perhaps if it's just out of impulse, after 1 year, this impulse will die down and I would no longer have this burden. So they just wanted to wait and see. And after all, it's practical that I must complete my studies first. So by God's grace, in secondary four, the Lord changed my life. My conduct, my attitude changed totally. I was not interested in secular things, but I also knew that I have to take my studies seriously. Up to that point in time, from Sec 1 to Sec 3, I've just been playing the fool. I've always been fighting to be second last in class, just not to be the last place, okay, average in school. But when I was in secondary four, I knew I had to work hard. And by God's grace, I tried my best. You know, we had this O-levels, and in the school, they would have this mock O-levels examination in the middle of the year. In the middle of the year, in this mock O-level exam, I got 39 points. You know, the higher the points, the worse it is. Then prelims came. I got 29 points. And when O-levels came, I got 19 points, reduced by 10. Okay, but after deducting the two CCA points, my final O-level score was 17 points. I tried my best. And I thank the Lord that He was merciful to me. But also in my secondary 4 year, by God's grace, my father, because I had a hunger now for the study of God's Word, my father and I, we attended the FEBC night class. And as I was also very interested in the study of God's Word, I started to attend a few FCM meetings. I remember I attended the FCM with Singapore Poly, led by Reverend Wee Eng Mo at that time. And then I also would attend FCM combined meeting. But there was just this desire to study more and more of God's Word, just to learn about who He is, who I am, and to have a true intimate relationship with my God. And so when I was attending this eschatology night class, I remember Reverend Toh was teaching us at that time. And when Reverend Toh was teaching, one day in the midst of our studies, he said over the pulpit, "We need more young men to do God's work today." And then there was this person whom I do not know, a stranger. He just nudged me in the side. At the time, I was thinking, why is he so rude? It turned out that later this person was Reverend Hien. Okay, some of you may know him. Now he's ministering in Brisbane, and later on he would be my classmate. But he just nudged me in my side when Reverend Toh said, "We need more young men." The burden in me grew stronger and stronger. And after I completed my O levels, I told my parents again, and I spoke to them, and I told them that I still have this desire to serve the Lord full time. What should I do? So after talking to my pastor, I remember one day, Dr. Jeffrey Koo, the principal of the Far Eastern Bible College, came to our church to speak. No, at that time, I did not know anything about the Far Eastern Bible College at all. All I knew about the Far Eastern Bible College was that in our fellowship groups, our preachers, the speakers, will come from the Far Eastern Bible College. They will either be the lecturers or the students. And I remember that we had always one speaker who is always very fierce. And he will always come to our fellowship groups and ask very difficult questions. You are very familiar with him. I will not name names. And then there was another speaker who will be very fiery, very passionate, very loud. So I was very interested to find out more about this Far Eastern Bible College. And so one Sunday, the principal of the Far Eastern Bible College, Dr. Koo, came. And my parents told me, if you want to study full-time, talk to him. So I, as a young boy, went to ask Dr. Jeffrey Koo, "Dr. Koo, I have this burden and desire to go to the full-time ministry. What should I do?" Now, at the time, because of my prelims result, I cannot go to JC, junior college. And in those days, if you do not go to junior college, if you go to poly will start after the middle of the year. So I will have at least 6 months break. And what some would do would be to take a part-time job. So what should I do? Then Dr. Jeffrey Koo just told me, "Come to FEBC and study." Then I said, "But can I? Because I'm so young." And I remember Dr. Koo just told me, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth." So I went. And I went to the Far Eastern Bible College, not as one who was called, but as one who was still searching to find out, is this really God's will for my life? Will God, or is God calling me to the full-time ministry? So I entered in after O-levels to the Far Eastern Bible College. The first impression that I had was not a very pleasant one, because in my first semester, Dr. Koo just told me, "Take 20 credits." And 20 credits was not easy. So I tried. But I enjoyed the studies there. I felt that it was like heaven on earth. Fellowship with Christian friends daily. Just listening to the Word of God preached and expounded with assignments. But I enjoyed it until one day I was doing cutting duty. As I was cutting watermelon, and I remember this incident, I'll always remember this incident very clearly. I was just cutting watermelon, and suddenly I heard a voice behind me saying, "If you do not want to cut, don't cut." And this person just took the knife away from me. This person was our matron, Mrs. Toh. I looked at the watermelon I was cutting. I looked at my friend's watermelon. Looked exactly the same. What did I do wrong? So I was so afraid. Should I now ask and say, "No, I want to cut. Please give me back the knife." Or should I just stand there and wait? Because both are wrong. You see, you don't want to cut, don't cut. So if I don't cut means I don't want to cut. If I say I want to cut, then am I being rude? So what should I do? I just stood there and I was afraid. So that was my experience of the Far Eastern Bible College when I first went in. But it was an enjoyable experience because I also got to talk to others who professed that they were called to the full-time ministry. I found out from them, how did they know that they were called to the Far Eastern Bible College? And under that environment, by God's grace, I could hear of many testimonies to know how God spoke to each one of them individually. While each one of them, all of them would have different testimonies, but there would be one common thing, which they will always say, when God calls, you will know it. You will be sure. Somehow, you will know it. Well, at that point in time, I still did not know that I was called. So how? I thank the Lord that also in that environment, people were constantly praying for me as I searched out God's calling. In the middle of the semester, there was this missions trip that was organized by the FEBC to Indonesia. And because it was midterm break, I also took this opportunity to join this missions trip to Indonesia. After all, I had a burden and desire for missions. So I also wanted to go and see the work there. And when I went for that trip, the Lord used that trip to confirm my call. I remember very clearly, one morning as I was doing my quiet time, my devotion, I used Charles Spurgeon, the faith checkbook, and to do my quiet time. And on March 13, 2001, the reading on that day was taken from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the passage which we read. And this was what Charles Spurgeon wrote in his devotion. He said, Jeremiah, as he expounds this passage, Jeremiah was young and felt a natural shrinking when sent upon a great errand by the Lord. But he who sent him would not have him say, I am a child. What he was in himself must not be mentioned, but lost in the consideration that he was chosen to speak for God. He had not to think out and invent a message, nor to choose an audience. He was to speak what God commanded and speak where God sent him. And this God will enable to do in strength, not his own. Is it not so with some young preacher or teacher who may read these lines? God knows how young you are and how slender are your knowledge and experience. But if he chooses to send you, it is not for you to shrink from your heavenly call. God will magnify himself in our feebleness. If you were as old as Methuselah, how much would your years help you? If you were as wise as Solomon, you might be equally as willful as he. Keep you to your message, and it will be your wisdom. Follow your marching orders, and they will be your discretion. This was my thought. My cry to the Lord at that time was, I am a child. I am still young and immature. My cry to the Lord was, I am a child, because I have little gifts and talents. I cried to the Lord that I am a child because I'm sinful and vile. Can I be used of the Lord? When I look back at my life, can God use me as his preacher, as his mouthpiece? But when I heard these words from the Lord, say not that I'm a child, the burden from my heart just rolled away. And I know, and I knew at that very point in time, that the Lord has answered me. So I went back to the Far Eastern Bible College after this missions trip, and I told Dr. Koo and my parents of the certainty of my call. I thank the Lord that my parents were very supportive. They did not object to this call at all. The moment they knew that I was very certain and sure that the Lord has called me, they supported me wholeheartedly. Even throughout my FEBC studies, it was this call that has kept me. There were many days where doubts would fill my mind. Sometimes, oftentimes, I'm reminded of my own weaknesses. Many times I failed. There were fears. There were feelings of uselessness, times of depression, times of doubts and uncertainties. But the Lord always used this call to remind me. I remember especially in my final year in FEBC, in 2010, when the semester was very tough. I was supposed to write my thesis together with the languages classes. Then, in one of our language classes, when we were studying Hebrew, we were asked to exegete or to expound, explain, translate this whole passage. And the Lord, again, reminded me of this call, and He used this call to assure me. The Lord then, by God's grace, after my studies, He allowed me to serve in Africa, the Bible College of East Africa. How the Lord led me there was, I had a friend who studied together with me, Reverend Eben Yoon, and he graduated earlier than me, and he went back to Africa to serve. Remember, he visited FEBC one day, and he showed us picture. At that time, you know, as we are about to graduate, we would think, what will I be doing? What am I going to do? Am I called to preach? Am I called to teach? Where will I serve? I knew I had a desire to do missions work because this was how and the Lord first led me to the full-time ministry. So I had a desire and burden for missions work. But I was also interested to learn more about the pastoral ministry and the teaching ministry. And then there was this opportunity to serve in the Bible College of East Africa. Over there, you can get an experience of all three aspects: missions work, teaching ministry, as well as pastoring ministry. So I spoke to Dr. Jeffrey Koo, and I shared with him my desire to serve in the Bible College of East Africa. And then the Lord sent me there. So by God's grace, I served there 3 years. These 3 years were wonderful years, difficult, but many lessons which I've learned. Again, time after time, the Lord reminded me of this call. I remember in my 3rd year, I was going through a very difficult time. I lost sight of this call. I remember the encouragement of friends and pastors who remind me of how the Lord first called me when I first came to the full-time ministry. And it was this call which encouraged me again and reminded me that I must speak whatever the Lord will put in my mouth. So by God's providence, after 3 years there, the Lord led me back to Singapore. And then now I'm serving in Calvary Tengah. I know that there are many challenges that will lie ahead. When I look at myself now, I will still say, like Jeremiah, that I am a child. You know, I wonder sometimes whether Jeremiah, even towards the latter part of his ministry, will he still feel like he's a child? Perhaps many times he would feel like that. And there are many days, many times, so often, that I will feel that I am still like a child. Sinful, weak, foolish, inexperienced, unwise, scared, afraid. All these feelings that will just cloud my mind. But this is what the Lord says. Say not that I am a child. You know, the Lord told Jeremiah to not say that he's a child, not because he's wise, or not because he's stronger now, or not because he's more experienced now. The Lord told Jeremiah not to say that he's not a child because he has achieved much now. The Lord told Jeremiah to say that he's not a child simply because of who God is. Say not that I am a child, because I have put my words in my mouth. Say not that I'm a child, because I'm with thee, because I have sent thee. And this is the reminder that the Lord has constantly placed in my mind. And it's with this reminder that by God's grace, I pray that the Lord will keep me faithful in His ministry. When God calls, God will enable and God will equip. When God calls, say not, I am a child. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we thank Thee because Thou art the great and the almighty God. Thou hast called each one of us to salvation. And Thou hast also given to each one of us a very special calling calling to be where you want us to be. O Lord, we know where thou hast placed us. It is by thy sovereign will, by thy special purpose. O Lord, we also thank thee, for there are some whom thou hast called to serve thee with their life in the full-time ministry. O Father, at times when we are confronted with this call, we feel so small, we feel so afraid. But we thank thee that it's in thy strength that we labor on. O Lord, our shoulders are so small, and we are not able to carry the burdens of the ministry that is entrusted to us. But we thank thee that thou hast filled our mouths with thy words, and all we are called to do is to declare what thou hast commanded us to declare. O Father, we know how sinful and weak we are. We know how unworthy we are. It is our sincere prayer that thou will just use us. O Father, we pray for many in our midst, for all of us, that you will use each one of us in thy own special way to be a light to shine for thee, to declare thy words wherever we are, at home, in our schools, in our families, with our friends. Move us to be bold to declare thy truth. O Father, we thank thee, for thou art our God. Remind us constantly of who thou art. We thank thee for this evening of worship. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.